As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
0-1. There goes the runner. The pitch is taken. The throw to second base is late. Langford in there with a steal. He comes off the bag, and he's tagged out. Now, the Rangers will argue that he was pushed off the bag, and we will see what happens here.
After review, the call on the field stands. The runner is out.
And there you have it. The game is over.
Who? The crowd reaction in Arlington. Bobby Belt still shaking his head the wrong way. Good morning, Metroplex. 9 o'clock hour, final one of the morning here on your home for Rangers baseball, 105.3 The Fan, as the runs were once again a problem in this series. 4 runs in 3 games as the Dodgers come into town. How much of a home field was it? Let's bring in Rangers broadcaster, pre-post, play-by-play, and insider Jared Sandler here on the D&M Leasing Hotline, 105.3 The Fan. How bad was that call at second base, or were you more 50-50 with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was safe. My biggest issue is this, Sean. I like replay. We discussed this on the post-game show. Two of us are in favor of replay, Eric and I, and Dave Bassick and Hixie all are against replay. I'm cool with replay. One thing I don't like and don't understand and have never really understood, and it's not just in baseball, but in the NFL as well, is why the call on the field takes any sort of priority over the call made by a person with better technology and more resources to make the accurate call, right? Like, it's like, we're gonna allow the person watching the game in real time with one angle make a call, and that call, you know, it has
but what do you little, but what do you do time. What do you do if the replay doesn't give you the answer? What do you do with the initial call?
Whatever they decide is the best call. Over, if you are challenging the call, then to me, the call on the field should have no bearing. And whatever they determine the best call to be in replay is the call. If it's not conclusive, in like when you look at the replay, then it sure as hell wasn't conclusive when you saw it with your own eyes in real time. And in both cases, you're making what you believe to be is the best call. So I'd rather you make what you believe to be is the best call with multiple angles, slow motion, and all the technology and resources available to you. And I think that if that was the way it played out yesterday, then Wyatt Langford would have been called safe. Because I'm not going to sit here and tell you that 120% for sure he was safe.
Yeah.
I'm like 91% sure he was safe. But I think if you don't factor in the call on the field, then he probably is safe, and you keep going and see what happens after that.
What is the best argument those guys gave or that you have heard for no replay?
Well, Dave was the first one to lead that charge, and he just said that, you know, sports are entertainment and replay is not entertaining. I actually kind of disagree.
Yeah.
Because I think in a moment like last night, there was this, like,
anticipation.
Yeah. And you know, it didn't work out in the in the Rangers' favor. But what happens if the call was overturned? That place would have erupted.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that it, now I agree with Dave in basketball, especially college basketball.
Yeah.
You know, the last 2 minutes take, you know, another hour, yeah, because every single, I agree.
But football's a talking point. I mean, we're all in the living, yeah, room, we're on social media debating it, and we're hooked on it, you know, like we're waiting.
Yeah, I 100%. And I think baseball, for the most part, the same thing. Dave also said that, you know, it's frustrating him. And I understand this, that if you're going to use replay and you still can't get the call right, then what's the point? I think that goes back to the way it's executed. I don't like the fact that the call in the field has any bearing on the call that is made ultimately with consideration of the replay. But I do think that, you know, the entertainment side, I think it is fun to see the replay. I think it's in like, let's remove ourselves from any sort of emotional tie to last night's call. If you're just an objective or an unbiased fan, you're watching, then you're like, oh my gosh, like you're sitting next to your buddy in the living room or at the bar or whatever. Like, what did he say? What do you think? And like, so what? It was 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like Hixey said, it was 3 minutes of my life I'm never getting back. Yeah, but it's sports and you know, it's a talking activity. And you know, baseball is the quote unquote talking sport. And so for 3 minutes, you're sitting there debating it. And here we are the next morning and we're debating it as well. And
yep,
it stinks that the call didn't go the Ranger way. And I do think that, again, if there was no call on the field, I think that Y Langford would have been ruled safe. But, you know, I don't know that I agree that it is not entertaining to have replay, but I understand there's certain people who hate it and despise it. And I get that. I'm just not on that side of the fence.
Jared Sandler here on 105.3 The Fan after the Rangers dropped 2 of 3 against the Dodgers. Encouraging or discouraging series?
Well, I mean, it was encouraging to see Jacob deGrom do what he did against the Dodgers. And it was certainly encouraging to see what Tyler Mahle did and Nathan Eovaldi and just the pitching in general. There are only three pitchers who have gone 7 innings against the Dodgers, and the Rangers have 2 of them, you know, and that means something.
Yeah.
Was the Dodgers series the one most likely for the bats to get going with their 17 closers that they can bring out of the bullpen? And the fact that you face their three best healthy starting pitchers, probably not. But, you know, we talk about this all the time. The minute you think that baseball is going one way, or it probably applies to sports in general, then, you know, things happen in a different direction. So I definitely went into the weekend thinking maybe they do unload on one of these pitchers. And they didn't. And, you know, they clearly have to get going in the right direction offensively. It's going to be really tough for them to maintain the success they've had without that. But, you know, they have been winning games, and they, you know, I know you're supposed to take 2 of 3 at home, but we all know the Dodgers are a really good team. And if you take 1 of 3, and I think here's the deal, Sean, I think I'd be a little more disappointed if the Rangers only won 1 of 3 games, but they weren't in the other two. But, you know, they competed really well against a team that a lot of people think is the favorite to win the World Series. And,
yeah,
and they did it when, you know, they're clearly not rolling offensively. And so, but they definitely have to get something going offensively. And, you know, it's now been, what, 3 weeks, and we're at a point now where it's fair to start assessing things without the disclaimer of, well, it's only been,
yeah,
you know, it's only been 10 games. You know, you can cast that aside. That doesn't mean things can't change, right? It doesn't mean that this is who they are by any means, but I think it's fair to start having conversations about what can we do with a little more intensity to consider how to get things going.
Jared, I know you take a look at all of the StatCast peripherals and how that can be extrapolated out and what you expect to kind of regress to the mean, what you expect to get better. When you look at the numbers on Jock and Marcus Semien, which one do you have more confidence can turn it around and start hitting the baseball better?
Well, I think that Jock still has the upside to, you know, be more impactful is the phrase that's coming to mind, but I don't know if that's the right phrase. But, you know, he's a middle of the order bat. That's who he is, you know, and guys like that have a ceiling that it's same idea of when, like, you know, you guys and we all would talk this off season, Marcus Semien or Adolis Garcia. You know, I think I got asked a bunch, if you could only pick one of those two guys to turn things around, who would you pick? And I said I would pick Adolis because he's got the upside to, you know, really have a big-time impact because of the power. And I think that with Jock, it's similar. The Rangers obviously need to get Jock going. I did speak to some folks with the Rangers yesterday and asked them, you know, what are you seeing from a data standpoint? Is there anything that's alarming? They said, no, there's nothing at all that's alarming. They just, you know, they chalk it up to one of those, you know, funky sequences of events that has all come together and led to, you know, Jock struggling the way that he struggled. And, you know, with Marcus, that one's interesting because obviously with Jock, he's a DH primarily. I mean, he can play first, but he's a DH. Marcus is still giving you really good defense. He's good on the bases, but they need him to get on base. And he hasn't been getting on base. He hasn't been hitting the ball. He hasn't been getting hits. Now, he has been hitting the ball a little bit harder here of late. But, you know, I do think it's fair to, now that you have Wyatt Langford back, Josh Young is healthy. You know, Josh Smith is hitting the ball well. You know, the Rangers, I think, have options if they choose to restructure their lineup. And I think it's something that on this off day, you know, they might consider the merits of it, just given the fact that their offense has not performed anywhere close to what the talent suggests that they should perform or how they should perform.
Jared Sandler joining us here on 105 Through the Pen. Specifically on Marcus, because you mentioned, I know we've talked about, you had told us a couple weeks ago, bat speed, that what was it, a mile per hour added to your bat speed can add up to a good improvement on your batting average.
10 feet or so. Oh, yeah. I mean, a mile an hour. I mean, the scientists, I don't know, they have locked down a specific number, but some people have said, you know, a mile per hour bat speed can add about 10 feet of distance. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, that's the difference between, you know, a ball caught in the gap versus one that's out of reach for extra bases, or a ball on the track versus one that's, you know, over the fence. So it just adds a little more capacity for distance.
Yeah, and when you look at some of Marcus's, like I said, the peripherals on some of the stuff with StatCast and different things, it looks like he's swinging the bat similar to how he has the last couple of years. Is this just an instance of you got to give it time, or is there a reason maybe why, like if you look at right now, his whiff percentage on fastballs, for instance, is higher right now than it's been typically throughout his career. Is there anything you see that you're like, hey, just this is going to come around, or is there some issue with that he's having now catching up to fastballs?
Yeah, I mean, the fastball thing is the one that has stood out to me, Bobby, just because that when Marcus has been at his best, you know, he has been a really good fastball hitter. And, you know, that is something that just obviously was a big point of emphasis for this team. Now, you know, the team isn't, you know, putting together dazzling numbers against any specific pitch or, you know, set of pitches or anything like that. But, you know, for Marcus specifically, the ability to turn on the fastball and, you know, hit. I mean, Marcus was one of these guys, like he was incredibly efficient with the way balls were put in play. What I mean by that is Marcus has never been a guy that has, you know, been near the top of the league in exit velocity. That's never, even in his best years, even in his 40 home run season, that wasn't him. What he has done a really good job of is hitting the ball in the air down the line, pull side. And he has been incredibly efficient. You know, he doesn't waste fly balls to center field. I'm not saying that guys like actually waste it, but he does not hit, you know, 400, like Jake Berger hit a ball 406 feet yesterday, and it was an out at the track. It was the farthest out off the bat of a Ranger all year. Marcus doesn't do that. You know, he doesn't hit the ball. He rarely hits the ball in the air like that to center. He hits the ball to left field in the air, and he hits home runs that are 370 feet, 380 feet, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in order for him to do that, he's got to be able to turn on the fastball. And you're right, he has struggled with that. Now, he's hit the fastball better than he's hit other pitches. His home run this year, I believe, came on a fastball. Mm-hmm. And some of the expected numbers on the fastball are actually better than the actual numbers. And that's you asked about confidence. I think that is what would give me confidence for Marcus right now is that you look at expected batting average. I think we were looking yesterday's expected slugging percentage all against the fastball aren't just like a little bit better. They're significantly better, which would suggest that if he continues to perform the way he's performed, he will experience an uptick in production against the fastball. But the Rangers are at a point where they need that to happen. And, you know, we talked about maybe making some changes. Can they wait for that to happen? And I don't know. you know, if they want to wait for that to happen without maybe restructuring their lineup a little bit, just to give it a spark. I mean, you know, I think there's a balance between sticking with it and you know, backing your veterans versus, all right, hey, you know, maybe it's time just to make a change. And you know, that's one of the questions being asked right now, obviously, is, you know, what the Rangers are going to do with their lineup, because you want to put Corey Seager in a position to succeed. You want to put Corey Seager in a position to be able to make the biggest impact he can make. And in order for that to happen, he needs to be hitting with guys on base, and he just hasn't had those opportunities enough.
How much Dallas Stars worry do you have?
I kind of thought that they were going to come out two nights ago and it'd just be like, you know, kind of like the Rangers in 23, where, you know, everyone thought they were dead men walking because they had, you know, limped into the postseason. And then they used that as an opportunity to wipe the slate clean. But I'm a little bit nervous. I mean, Colorado, not necessarily my favorite matchup for them at the shoot. So hopefully, you know, they can get one tonight. Really excited that, you know, we had a day game Saturday, off day today. We have a day game next Saturday. So a lot of Stars watching opportunity, which isn't always guaranteed during baseball season for me. Hmm. So I know a bunch of us are going to get a chance to go watch the game tonight on TV, and hopefully they can get the win. We need it badly, right?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not going to be easy going down 2-0 having to go to Colorado.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
See you guys.
The man, Jared Sandler, Rangers broadcaster here on your home for Rangers baseball, 105.3 The Fan. We have our Jason Kidd answer, I think. Multiple Mavs reports dropping this morning why Dirk really left, and was Jason behind the Luka deal himself? We'll bring you all the very latest after this.
Hey, and it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers, Frankel and Frankel. If you have been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck attorneys in Dallas.
Zeros on the clock. Streamers from the rafters. The Grizzlies will advance to the first round to take on Oklahoma City. Game one is Sunday at noon.
The Anthony Davis season ends just like how it basically began during those 2.5 quarters of championship play, according to Nico Harrison. AD looking fantastic, getting hurt. The other night, he basically carried the entire team. He's scoring 35 points after 3 quarters, but ultimately gets hurt, leading to the Nico GIF that I will have as an all-time memory. That's going to be an all-time replay that I use over and over and over again. The disgusted slow-motion look at AD limping on over to the bench.
What do you think was going through his mind at that moment? Given everything we now know about Nico, was he just like,
right,
the world is out to get me in that moment? Or is he looking at AD like, why aren't you better conditioned?
I don't know.
Or is he just thinking like, they would see if Kyrie would, like, I was trying to figure out, like, what is that look on his face? Is that anger at fate, or is that anger at people? Or, but he looked furious in that moment.
Is that the number one, like, coach or front office DFW moment that you can recall of the past like 10 years? Jerry Jones, Chris Christie up there, like the giddiness.
Oh, like an image?
Yeah, an image. What other image can you? I can't think of a Ranger one.
Yeah,
either from Boach or, you know, CY or the front office.
So the image I always think of, and it's devastating, the one I always think of is, it's a manager though, but it's when Hamilton hit that home run in extra innings in game 6, and they cut to Ron Washington and he was standing up on the ledge with his arms up and was just like shaking his fists. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, probably the Chris Christie group hug and jump would
like
be
Maddox.
Similar.
I love Wash with Holland. I love that. I'm just trying to think of that image, but that Nico one, that's going to go down in infamy for me.
It's going to be the standard image people use when they talk about him. And so, you know what's funny, though? I saw some people trying to say, ooh, dirty work by the cameraman, cutting to Nico. I was like, I think that's to be expected. Like, I feel like if Luka got hurt, they would immediately cut to Pelinka, or pretty quickly cut to Pelinka. Like, it's just, this is the shot you're looking for. You're wondering how he's reacting to it.
What they say, Lion King scar?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly what he looked like. The same little just bewilderment, disgust, and anger and disgust, like all of it all at once.
Anthony Davis was asked about the season here. He said, obviously a lot of emotion. I know it's not directed towards me. The city loved the guy. Get rid of a guy, new guy comes in. Yeah, they want to embrace you and they're thankful for you. It still stings. I'm just thankful and appreciative for the city of Dallas and the fans for welcoming me and Max to the new situation. Klay Thompson was asked, if you knew they were going to trade Luka, would you have wanted to come here? Klay did not love the question, saying, come on, that's kind of ridiculous. I don't have a time machine. I don't look back like that. And then Luka Doncic, with the sit-down interview with Malika Andrews, showed off why he's still using a broken cell phone.
I thought I would show you the souvenir from that night.
Oh, yeah, he's still there.
You hang up the phone the night you're traded, and you threw it?
Yes.
Do you have that phone?
Yeah.
You still use that phone?
Yeah, it still works.
Threw the phone. What were you doing? Take us inside the Doncic residence, not the $15 million one that you were just going to, you know, buy as a real estate investment because you didn't want to re-sign with the Mavericks, as the Mavs are trying to suggest Luka on how he found out what Nico had done.
Well, I was actually in the bed, you know. My TV wasn't working, so I was on iPad watching a movie, about to go to sleep. First thing I said, like, probably three times, is this April 1st.
What were you feeling in that moment?
Sadness, mostly. I was still in shock, like crazy shock. And I felt like my heart was broken, honestly.
So that's Luka also ending the interview saying, yes, I intended to be a Maverick for life. Do you want to re-sign with the Lakers? He quickly answered yes. So Tim McMahon at 7 o'clock this morning dropped his update that many were waiting for on why Dirk left here or doesn't want to be really that involved. State of the Mavs article. Tim Cato also wrote one, and a piece of it maybe gives us our Jason Kidd answer. Cato says that Jason Kidd resented Nico trading Luka after the team and system had been built around Doncic. The exasperation from that led Jason to skip that postgame press conference back in February. So this is Tim Cato saying that Jason Kidd, while agreeing with some of the criticisms, all right, he understood some of what Nico was thinking, did not agree with the trade. So that's the most final and conclusive sentence I've seen and reporting done on Kidd's involvement.
Yeah, no, nobody had really weighed in on that portion of it. I'll say that makes a little bit of sense. Like to where you could be, imagine just complaining about somebody and then you find out like, oh, a coworker got fired or something like that. And then everybody looks at you and go like, I bet you're having, it's like, well, no, I still thought we were better with him. I was annoyed with certain aspects. Yeah. I wanted more,
yeah.
But that's what it is. Now, I guess we are going to hear from him today, Nico Harrison. He is going to have a press conference, his end of the season press conference at 1 p.m. today. It's apparently a press conference, so it will be available for
everyone.
Why
did you do the thing last week then?
Because that apparently was Dumont saying, you got to answer some of this directly. And
wow.
Yeah, but we are going
to get... And then we're going to... How many are we going to get of... Guys, we went over this last week. Guys, we just covered this.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you'll get some of that for sure. But you know what? I'm going to be fascinated to just see his demeanor. That's going to be the biggest... It's going to be less the words. I could probably just watch it on mute and see what I could get out of...
WFA will get their body language expert again.
Yeah, exactly. Just to see...
Well, all evidence suggests that it's going to be defiant with attitude again. It's not going to be any softening, right?
How much do you think... Could this get any worse? Like, does he get asked about any of this today?
Any of what?
Any of the reports that came out today. Do you think he gets directed questions about McMahon's report about the staff and stuff? And then he'll just
1,000,000,000%.
He just walks around it or just goes, I mean, it sounded like last week his whole thing was just, I have my tropes, I have my slogans that I default to when I don't answer questions. Defense wins championships or agree to disagree. He just has these fallback sentences that he uses, which I guess he'll do again today.
All right, so the Dirk dirt from McMahon. Dirk was put off by the dismissal of Casey Smith, the longtime trainer, and Scott Tomlin, who now works with Dirk's foundation. Very put off by that. Not a lot of new Cuban stuff. Basically, Nico managed to push him out from the basketball operations that were supposed to be there, but... you definitely think the most disturbing thing has to do with how they got rid of Casey Smith.
Yeah, the Casey Smith stuff is awful. And McMahon talks about how Nico had decided that he was going to move on and that when he had reached out after the season to Casey Smith and told him, hey, we need to meet face-to-face, then Casey Smith told him, not really possible. I'm back in Ohio right now with my mom who's gravely ill and about to pass away. And Nico then said, no problem, here's a Zoom link, and then fired him over Zoom as he was in Ohio with a close family. That feels like a really dirty way to end somebody's career who was so respected by your biggest idols, essentially, in your organization.
And McMahon's sources saying that supposedly it was because Casey was too negative, but the vague reasoning was Casey was not enough of a yes man. Quote, he was 100% threatened by him. He's going to show that I'm in charge and nobody else can question that, because Luca was tight with Casey as well. So then you got these two other trainers who came in who hated each other. One was supposedly a Nico yes man, a cheerleader, and these two almost came to blows over Derek Lively's injury, which they almost missed and turned catastrophic.
Yeah, they had run him through like a really aggressive workout to like get him ready, to get his ankle ready. And then they ended up getting a CT scan. We're like, we're a little concerned. Let's look at it. And they find out that, oh, no, there's actually a stress fracture here. And McMahon had talked to somebody in the building who said, like, this is something somebody should get fired over. This is that bad.
And Tim obviously knew he was writing this last week. So he pressed Nico about the Lively stuff, and Nico's like, well, obviously you're coming at it from a negative point of view. To me, it shows how great our training staff is that we were about to clear him and put him on the floor, but we were like, no, we have a gut feeling. We have an instinct, and that saved something catastrophic because we went and checked again. Whereas the Mavs source that Tim spoke with said someone should be fired over missing it.
Kirk Henderson from Mavs Moneyball, he just tweeted something a few minutes ago that I was like, that's exactly it. When you go back and think of the transcript, like the portions you were just referencing of stuff Tim asked him, and then you read this article, it's stunning to see that and realize, as Kirk said, McMahon had all that reporting and Nico walked right into every question. Every single one of them walked right into it. There's such a defiance and such a confidence in his position and his security as like, if I haven't been fired yet, it's terrifying. Like, I can only think it's similar to probably what you felt like or other people felt like around you growing up around Baltimore with the Angelos family, where it just feels like, how are we going to get saved from this?
You're trapped.
Yeah, you're stuck.
You're sentenced.
Where it's like, who's gonna step in and actually do something to save this organization right now? If they're not going to, if they just trust him, the guy at the top trusts him, and there's no more Mark Cuban, there's no more Dirk influence, who's going to save the organization from this?
Yes, you're trapped. What else did you take from this? If anything more.
Yeah, I think just the biggest thing is that it feels like maybe there were times that credit was given to Nico Harrison for things where maybe there should have been additional scrutiny. Like the way this paints it is all of his staffing decisions, not the trades or that, but the staffing decisions have been disastrous. And even these two guys that are his guys, Belton and then what was the other one?
Billsborough,
yeah. Those two being guys that he picked, they can't get along with each other. So even though they're his guys and they're doing what he wants, even still, those two to each other cannot get along.
Luca's friend with the Mavs smear campaign over the conditioning, quote, you don't perform like that if you're a fat, drunk pig. My advice for Nico Harrison and the Dallas Mavericks today, besides if you're not going to resign, soften it.
Yep.
Stop. put down the fists. You're not winning anything like that. Bow at the mercy of the city and have a little bit of an apologetic or just softer tone. That's my number one piece of advice if you're not going to step away. And stop being so damn defiant and proud and stubborn. It's a downfall of many, many, the majority of people, and the majority of them being men. So take the emotion out of it and try to placate the fan base, appease the city a little bit. It's not going to fix it, but stop fighting. Put your fist down. It's stupid.
Do you think he will? Or do you think he'll come out here again today and just be defiant? Because he very intentionally did not do it in front of the cameras last week. Like, I'm curious if his approach will be different knowing he's on camera.
It's really hard to think that you can completely change the demeanor in the same setting. How many days after the secret thing? Was that Thursday?
A week. It was like last Wednesday or something.
I'm gonna lean towards him not changing. Give nothing. Stop acting. Please don't mention today for your own sake. Don't talk about Luka not re-signing here. Don't. Nothing but praise for Dirk. Nothing but praise for Dirk. And pretend you care about the fan base that is angry and scorned.
Think about how much visuals can impact things. You know what I mean? Like when you see something visually, it can ratchet it up a level.
Sure.
He has effectively managed not to talk in front of a camera for this entire time. And it's still this bad without him saying. My one small hope is that he will reveal that aggression today, and it would be something that might be a catalyst.
Let's crosstalk with the KNC masterpiece. How worried is Kevin Hegland? How excited is he over WrestleMania? And am I getting to the cupcake to the face from Corey Majors? Crosstalk with KNC next.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine today. The back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. More new Chevys than anyone else, all priced to sell. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
O'Connor with Taves and Keevy Rockton. Here's the trailer. Manson towards the net. Deflects. In behind Ottinger for a 3-1 Colorado lead. Devon Taves heading to the crease area. Gets the stick on it. And the Avalanche once again lead by 2.
TNT with the call, panic meter, Kevin Hegland, 1-10.
Death, taxes, and the Stars losing game one of a playoff series. Those are the things that you can count
on. Well, taxes, you can file an extension, according to RJ. Put it off.
I'm more apt to follow your financial things that I've heard than RJ's.
Oh, excellent.
You said scale 1-10?
Yeah.
Like an 8. Pretty high.
Yeah, I was going like 6.5.
Yeah, they've lost 8 in a row total. And then we talked a lot about how, hey, NHL players, you can flip the switch in the playoffs. You lose another game one. And I don't think it was as lopsided as the score led
3-1,
us to believe,
basically, and then empty net.
But it's still disappointing, and I am concerned about this team.
Corey Majors, what is coming up on the program?
Gentlemen, we get into everything from this weekend, especially Adolis Garcia and how right I was about what he did.
How was your takeaway from that series?
Huh? You said he's going to hit a walk-off home run?
I did. And then we do have our friend Cynthia Freeland joining us from NFL Network at 12:20 today. And it sounds like we're going to be carrying a little bit of the Nico Harrison presser at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Just listening to y'all's conversation, I would be stunned if it started with some sort of like, hey, can I just talk to the Mavs fans for a second?
Yeah.
And it's just like, really feels bad and everything like that. But I mean, if he does, that would be amazingly fascinating. I can't see that happening.
Takeaways from these Mav pieces that bam, 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 dropped this morning.
So I did actually have a question for you guys, mm-hmm. and I'm dead serious about this. What do you think would have been the proper course of action with Casey Smith? Like, if Casey Smith is going to be with his mom, and we understand that's going to take multiple weeks, would you have given him, you have given Nico grace if he is like, I'm going to fly out there. I really need to talk to you face to face. Like, he's got to move on. He's got to do, and he decided. Now, I realize the reasons why he decided people don't like, but What would make it acceptable?
They didn't hire anybody immediately. Like, they fired somebody. You operate without somebody. Anyway, you can if he's out of town, you can operate with him out of town and still accomplish what you need to accomplish.
I agree.
You wait for him to come back.
What if they had the other hire to be done that week?
Like, in terms of if it had to be done right then? I don't know. There's not probably not an easy answer for it. But either way, I mean, it seems especially cold to like, oh, no, don't worry. I'll hop on a Zoom with you.
No, I'm with you. I was just curious if there was a course of action that you would have recommended. Because I'm with you. That is harsh to be like, hey, let me send you a Zoom link real quick.
Did it say the replacement did not have to be made?
No, but it's not like anything where it was something where there's nothing in there that indicates there was any sort of urgency that they had to get him right there. I'm saying if he was out of town, they weren't going to just stop their... Over the course of that time while Casey Smith was out of town, they clearly were not in a position where like, well, we gotta have people here and doing things because he was not there anyway. So to me, it's just you wait for him to come back.
We have a developing situation with Shannon Sharp. TMZ recap has just been sued for allegedly raping a woman on multiple occasions. She is seeking tens of millions in damages. He just announced he's getting ready for a $50 million podcast deal.
That timing is interesting.
Yes. So she filed.
What do you want to say, Kevin?
No, so, okay, look, we've talked about this a lot. I'm always curious. I want to know more about the details of why go the civil route versus filing criminal charges. But I also don't know, like, when did this happen? The statute of limitations, everything. That's
you guys
just
should have her attorney on. After she says
Shannon Sharp's not local.
She says Shannon Sharp brutally sexually assaulted her several times at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. Following,
okay, so clearly within the criminal statute of limitations.
Following a years-long abusive relationship, she met Shannon at a gym in 2023 in L.A. She was 20. He was in his mid-50s. She said, hey, I'll buy you fake boobs if you win a weight loss competition with me. She said he then relentlessly called, texted, and demanded she come to his Beverly Glen mansion. Yes, Corey, I see you marking that against me. She said they eventually got into a consensual relationship, though she described it as controlling and verbally abusive. Mm. He demanded complete control over her time and body, according to the attorney, expecting her to be at his house on his schedule at his command whenever he called. There was one argument in particular that terrified her. He yelled at her while a firearm was visible in the room. She tried to share her location with her friends. He realized this, grabbed her by the neck, according to the allegation, and told her, if you ever do that again, I will blanking kill you. They still continued the relationship. And she said she tried to break things off after the Instagram Live incident, which she said led to him raping her. First instance, October 2024, at her apartment. He forced himself on her while she was crying and sobbing. The second happened a few weeks later, came over to her house with promises of delivering a Christmas and birthday gift. Instead, violently sexually assaulted her once more. She's suing for over $50 million.
So to your question, by the way.
Because I have a couple of different
theories. Okay, no, but to the question you first asked where you said why civil suit instead of criminal case. What I've heard before from attorneys is the idea that the baseline for getting that on the record that they did something wrong or getting some sort of result is going to be easier in the civil case than the criminal one. You may pursue something criminally and then just the threshold is going to be higher and it's going to be harder to prove.
Yeah. So I know some people theorize civil, you just got to win 51% of the case versus criminal, like 85-90%. And I do kind of wonder, I know cynically people will think it's strictly for the money, and I understand that. I'm probably not going to change anybody's mind about that. Mm-hmm. We have talked with a few people, like sexual assault or rape survivors, who were like, I don't want to go on the stand. So I wonder if they're like a civil account, maybe we can find a way that I don't have to go on the stand and get prosecuted for, you know, whatever my choices were.
My first question when you started kind of going through that was, after the first time, there was another time and another, like there were multiple times.
Yeah.
But Kevin, what's the number that we learned?
The average woman who is involved in a domestic violence situation goes back 12 times. It's so, that is so sad. Yeah. But like
his side will say this, we were dating. Okay. I'm not raping her while we're dating. Her side and others will say it's tough to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I hope they have a better argument than that. I don't think you can get away with we were dating. So it's fine. Like right. That's not going to fly.
All right, Corey, I'm ready. Let's get the cupcake.
I'm Sean. We have an incident going on at our house.
Oh.
We have an...
You guys are not baking?
We have an eater in our house.
Cupcake tariffs?
Sprinkle tariffs.
So last week, my dog was not feeling well. Oh. And we didn't know what was going on with him. And yes. All week long, it was...
I know what's wrong with him.
Buying your handicapped dogs.
Actually,
he's eating cupcakes. Ate a cupcake.
This is true. But I can guarantee y'all can't guess what else he ate. Guarantee you can't.
A toy.
Underwear.
Right? Nope.
Oh.
You want to guess? Just anything?
Weed.
No. Oh, they don't have weed at my house. It's all in gummy form. All right.
That's our other cross.
A wig.
All right. So all week he wasn't feeling well, and we thought maybe he got stung by something. And Friday night we went out to dinner. We got home, and Carter, my son, says, yeah, he pooped a fork. And and I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, come outside. Let's come look at this. And we went outside, and there's a plastic fork sitting.
I guess
in,
that's better than a metal fork, right?
And so like it was Carter had left food on the floor, and he got to it. And he doesn't jump up on the counter and get stuff. Evidently, Carter thought this cupcake was his. He thought all the like there was a pack of four.
Love you, Carter.
And so he took all of them. One of them was sitting on the floor. And this morning, my dog was looking at me with cupcake on his face. Oh, so,
God, I love your family.
Were they chocolate cupcakes?
They were not chocolate cupcakes. They were vanilla with pink frosting on top.
Are you embarrassed?
So like
chocolate kills dogs.
I was going to say, I just assume that's true. That's not like an old wives' tale, right? About the chocolate is harmful for dogs.
I think it's dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Maybe Friday then.
So Friday's okay.
Can we do Friday?
I will have to. And
hold
I couldn't.
On. Do you get to decide when this is going to happen to
yes.
you?
Yes.
Alec gets to decide, really.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question, though. You believe that story?
I don't care. The cupcake's not here. I don't
Are you sure, though? Are you sure that Alec is not going to be waiting for you once you walk out? It's like, pa-pow!
I would or think that, you wanted to do it on air.
Or
you
know? That Alec might be waiting be tomorrow it. Or Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh.
We have draft reaction Friday. You should probably wait till Monday.
Oh, man, I would love that. Let me tell you about the idea. Cowboys pick. Bam!
Isn't that the family guy when he's like, I owe you a punch? And he's like, do it now. And he's like, No, I'll wait.
How was WrestleMania?
Yeah, people have like really different thoughts about it. And I think I might have fallen in the minority on this. I did not think night one was that great until the main event. And I thought night two was really, really fun. But it was a fun show. I think the WWE has overestimated how much people care about Travis Scott in their world. Mm-hmm. But
do they care more about Travis Scott or Logan Paul?
They care more about Logan Paul for sure, because I mean, he like goes out there and wrestles. But I saw a really funny thing because John Cena, you know, broke Ric Flair's record for most world titles.
17 time champion.
And Travis Scott was involved in it. And so I loved somebody goes, yeah, I remember when John Mellencamp helped Ric Flair win his 16th title. And I just thought that was John so Mellencamp. Freaking funny. And so
did that really happen?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I think they've miscalculated. You know, having Travis Scott there without The Rock and people's interest in that.
So was John Cena back to being full time? And does that mean
that's what he says, more or less, just for the rest of this year?
And he's still a bad guy.
Yes.
Okay.
I think he'll lose the title and then turn back into a good guy and walk off into the sunset by the end of the year.
You want to say something?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I'll tell Kevin.
Oh, no.
Another patented Bobby Kevin secret.
This is off air. This doesn't help the listener at all right now.
Well, same thing for your cupcake.
That's valid.
Better not get hit in the hallway.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. Let's see if things...
No, don't say that on air.
Let's see if the stars can even things up tonight.
You think they will?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But I also wasn't worried at all about the end of the regular season thing. A little bit, but not a lot of bit. Just remember the things that I'm right about. The KNC Masterpiece is next on The Fan.